Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Wrestling.
Yay!
Today we're going to be talking about the 8th serial of the 3rd season of Doctor Who, The Savages, which consists of 4 episodes.
They don't have names. Joe's really sad.
Episode 1, Episode 2, Episode 3, and Episode 4. And they aired from May 28th, 1966 to June 18th, 1966. And that was a very short...
Joe Facts!
Are you sad because you feel like Joe Facts has become less important?
Yep. This marks the first time that a serial does not have titles for specific episodes. They are just episode 1, 2, 3, 4.
I swear that you were like annoyed by the fact that
I've grown to love it.
You've completely changed your stance on episode titles.
Yeah, because now I feel like it's all just going to be one big glob. I don't know. It's no longer special.
I'm just glad I won't have to hear you go, but now we're on the next episode. The next episode title! That's how you say it.
Yeah?
Now you'll just be like, well, that's the end of episode 2. Now I'm moving on to episode 3.
Episode 3! I can still do it.
I mean, you could.
So, what's up? We haven't done an episode in a while, I feel like, that hasn't had a guest on it. Like, we've done a string of guests.
Yeah, I do feel like...
like, we have to introduce someone. Like, it feels weird to just jump right in, right? Like, because usually we have a little bit of chatter with the guest, and now it's just us.
Do you just want to, like, how was your day today?
It was alright. I worked. We finished watching season 1 of Elementary.
It was so good.
It was good.
Oh, it's a good show, you guys.
So, yeah, watch that. That's good. How was your day?
It was okay. I mean, I worked today, and it was alright. There's nothing of interest to report there. I started to learn, though... I forget what it's called. Like, major mnemonic? Mnemonic?
Mnemonic devices?
Yeah. Well, yes, but it's specifically associating numbers with sounds, and then using those sounds to form words, and then using those words to remember long streams of numbers.
What do you do? What?
What's the question?
Who does that? Why were you doing... was this for work?
I mean, no. I just had some... free time.
Too much free time. They need to work you harder. If you employ Tony and are listening to this podcast, she needs more to do.
Stop, because actually my boss is a pretty big Doctor Who fan.
We should get him on an episode. Because clearly this dynamic's not working. We need a third.
We talk to each other all the time.
Not in front of a microphone.
We do, though. We literally have done it countless times. Well, I think we should talk about the episode. Normally, we're like with the guest, and I'm like, guys, can we start the podcast already? I didn't realize that I kind of enjoyed that time of like...
gives you time to gather your thoughts.
A little nice conversation before we jump into things.
But let's do it.
All right.
That's fine.
We're done with the conversation portion of the podcast.
Well, first off, how are you doing, listener?
Yeah, how are you?
What's up? Tell us about yourself. Nothing? All right. Moving on. Let's dive into The Savages.
Which was about as unfortunate a title as I thought it might be.
Okay, here's a Joe fact. One of the original titles for the serial was probably worse, which was The White Savages.
Which is pretty unfortunate. I say unfortunate like it happened on accident.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the thought process was, those are two things that don't go together. This episode itself doesn't... I don't feel like it's... the episode itself
is... It's the same thing anytime you're like, we're going to have a group of white people stand in for a group of oppressed people.
Yeah.
Which is itself... I want to say it's not bad. It's just done a lot.
To be fair, I feel like it probably would have been worse if the characters were people of color, because then it's even more on the nose and awful.
Yes. Whatever the case may be of however this was done, you could guess that it wouldn't be delicately or, you know.
Putting aside the whole, I mean, I don't know even if it's that bad of a, it's mostly just these people are not as, these savages are not as civilized or whatever, which is throughout the serial is shown to be
not true.
Stupid, anyway.
Yes.
So it's like, I feel like the serial.
I just mean, like, in sci-fi in general, there's a lot of stories that are like, what if the bad things that happen to everyone else happen to white people? And, like, the theme of that story is, oh no, that'd be awful.
Yeah, but that may be a way of getting white people to be sure. Like, oh wait, maybe I'm a dick.
I don't want to say, like, we're saying white people like we aren't white people. We acknowledge we're that people. We're white people. Yeah. We acknowledge that we're part of the problem.
I know this is an audio-only podcast, but yeah, we're white.
We're definitely white. That's something that I've, someone that has been pointed out to me that I am now more aware of when I consume media.
But I will say I feel like this, the moral of this serial is not a bad one.
No, in fact, I enjoy the serial a lot.
Should we talk about it?
No. No.
All right. Good night. I am a little sleepy.
We've both had a really long day, so if things seem off, that's part of it. We're both very tired. But I'm going out of town this week, and this is like the only time we have to get this done. And we, of course, want to, because we like doing it.
We've not gotten behind, but
we're not ahead.
Yeah, we're not ahead. And that's what we're trying to do. All right, but let's do it. Let's talk about the savages.
Let's do it.
First off, I was a little sad that this was not a sitcom starring both Fred Savage and Ben Savage.
That was a joke that you made while we were watching that was better when you made it then.
Yep. But somebody tell those guys they need to make a sitcom together called The Savages.
Right? I mean, I feel like it's just a solid idea for a TV show because of their characters.
I've always found it kind of weird that they both did the same show, basically.
But in different decades?
Yeah, like one of them did Wonder Years and the other one did Boy Meets World. And those are very similar.
Man, I watched the hell out of Wonder Years and Boy Meets World.
I didn't watch Boy Meets World that much. But like, I liked Wonder Years.
Boy Meets World makes sense that I watched the hell out of it. Wonder Years is like, why did I watch? I mean, it was good, but like it was like I had to go out of my way to watch it.
God, we're never going to talk about this damn episode. Okay, episode one. See, that's why. There's no title, so we can't just, it's harder to dive in. We can't.
You can't announce it, so you can't move on.
Yeah, here we are.
All right, well, you've like started and then stopped several times.
So, the cliffhanger from the last serial was that they land on a new planet or whatever, and
the doctor says they're in the future.
Does he? Okay.
Yes, he does.
So he's like, let's go explore. And when they go away, there is a caveman-ish person that shows up on the scanner that they do not see.
That's what he's like, we're in the future. And then the caveman person shows up and you're supposed to be like, are they?
But,
is the doctor wrong? That's the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
The doctor might be wrong.
That's just a fact. But the doctor goes out and is exploring and doing readings and Steven's like,
he's got some sort of instrument.
Yeah.
At least I've been led to believe.
It goes, boop. Oh, that's something we didn't say. This entire serial is missing. Though there's, like, oddly some existing really bad footage.
You'll get, like, 3 seconds, and you're like, ooh, people moving.
Some nice key moments, though, so that was good. There are a couple of just, like, Steven ducking behind a rock. That's it. But, yeah, the doctor's going around, and he sort of gets away from Steven and Dodo, and Steven is very worried. Doctor! Doctor! Which I posit is Steven's catchphrase.
I was going to say, I feel like Steven spends a lot of time being worried. In fact, if his middle name wasn't Regret, it would be Worried.
But like Dodo is like making fun of him for it. Just like, you gotta stop, you know.
Chill out, man.
Stop worrying about the doctor so much. Whatever. She questions his masculinity at one point.
Does she?
Yeah, she like says, be a man or some shit like that. Grow up.
Gross.
Then there's these two figures watching the doctor, of the sort of caveman people, the savages. They look weirdly scarred.
Some of them did.
I don't know if that was supposed to be like age, like they've aged because of what happens later, which we'll get to, or if it's scars. Like,
it's hard to tell when all you have is, like, the same grainy picture every single time they talk.
They definitely look old, but they also look scarred. But one of them doesn't look that old, but does still look scarred. One of them looks old and scarred, so I don't really know. But they're watching the doctor and contemplating what to do with him. Dodo sees a person with an axe and screams.
And guess what, guys?
Steven is like, you didn't see anything.
Why is that so common?
I don't know.
Like, you're on a new planet. You don't know what's there. I mean, I think to Steven's credit, at first he's like, are you sure? And then he's like, okay. But still, I don't understand why everyone's so quick to be like, you didn't see people. There aren't people here.
And to take it even a step further back, it's a little weird that every time they see a person, they're like, ah! Person!
Why are you screaming? Of course there's people here. So, you're on, people probably live here.
This whole thing doesn't make sense, and it happens multiple times. Surprise a person being in a place where people are and not believing that a person is there, though they clearly are.
Yeah, it's like the TARDIS team always thinks they're, like, the only people. It's almost like when you've been, like, reading in your room for, like, a really long time, and then someone, like, speaks to you, and you're like, what? I feel like that's how Team TARDIS is all the time. We're like, oh, God!
Without having read a book.
No, just, I think it's just, like, time travel and being in the TARDIS. Like, someone else pops up and you're like, ah, oh, gosh, other people startle me. Sorry.
The doctor sort of sees the two figures that are watching him and goes to, like, say hi. But they sort of scurry off. But two other figures show up. And the doctor just assumes that's who he saw, even though it was not. But these two figures are wearing some cool-looking hats.
Really nice hats.
They're like these sort of... I couldn't tell if they're like metal bands, because sometimes they look like really solid metal bands, and then some of the pictures, they kind of look foamy.
I think they're supposed to be metal bands.
It reminded me a lot of the hats from the Dalek Invasion of Earth, the ones that the Robo Patrol wore.
Man. There are some nice props in this era of just like, I want a Robo Patrol hat helmet so bad. I want Optera pajamas. I wanted the hats from this episode. There are probably other things that I'm just like, yes, that is excellent.
But okay, the two guys with the hats show up. They know who the doctor is. They say they've been following his exploits through.
Which is weird to me.
Well, that's just saying that they're advanced and they have the Daleks followed the doctor too.
Yeah, I know, but like, I'd be weirded out by that. Like, hey, we've been tracking your progress through time and space, and we knew it was only a matter of time before you were here. And the doctor's like, fantastic, you guys are clever, so smart. I'd be like, why? Like, okay, even assuming that other Time Lords aren't a thing at this point in time, you've got to assume that there are other time travelers. The Doctor has alluded to that he comes from, like, another planet, and it's creepy that they're following just him, is what I'm saying. I, like, my initial reaction would be like, why are you following me? That's weird. But it is just a sign of, like, look how advanced they are. They know about the Doctor, and they don't have time travel, but they can, I don't know. I'm saying it freaks me out. Like, we have GPS and know how that all works, but if, like, you came here and I was like, I was following you. I've got your trail right here. I'd be like, whoa!
Okay, but I don't think it's, like, specifically that. What if you looked at it like, oh, I've been keeping up with you in the press?
What press? Like, this isn't public knowledge that they have. It's, like, just where he's been going.
I don't know. Maybe.
It's not like they've been following him on Twitter.
Yeah, but
they've been plotting.
They didn't have Twitter in the 60s, Tony. Okay, but the thing I wanted to get to. So, he's talking to these guys with the hats. They're like, what's this device you got here? And I still don't remember what it does or what he's using it for, but I do remember the name of it. The Reacting Vibrator.
You only remember that because... Joe and I both looked at each other and giggled at the word vibrator because we're children.
Surprise.
Surprise. We're children. We thought the word vibrator was hilarious.
Because it is. Because it's also the name of a device that you use for sexual relations. Generally in the shape of a penis or that sort of general shape. And it goes, and this one reacts. So the Fine Brothers have a real problem with it. Topical humor! Topical humor! though this will go up like at least a month from now, so not as topical. It was topical when I made the joke, you guys. It was very topical.
I was wondering if I just stayed quiet how awful you would get.
Yeah.
No, and see, I couldn't take it anymore. I had to stop it.
It's topical, but you have to time travel, so it's relative to this podcast.
All right.
You see?
Okay.
The time is relative.
It's like you keep surprising me by getting like...
less and less funny?
Yes. There are more
you
depths
see, the
Fine to
Brothers
to.
Try to copyright the word react. Not the word vibrator, as far as I know. If the word vibrator is copyrighted. If so, we're probably breaking that copyright right now by saying vibrator over and over again. This episode is going to be called Reacting Vibrator.
You're in panic mode right
we
now.
We react to vibrators. That's the name of this episode. Anyway, moving on. I feel like that's my catchphrase. Bad joke. Anyway, moving on.
That wasn't
on.
Even a bad joke.
That was a series
that was
of
a
unfortunate
of panic. Just like, I'm still talking and I'm still talking. Oh God, I guess I'm still talking.
I didn't hear you jumping in much.
No, I told you. I was specifically being quiet to just see how far you'd go.
Come with us without STD. Oh, then they say come with us and without Steven and Dodo. That's S and D, not STD. Sex jokes.
We gotta get out of here. We gotta get...
Alright. But yeah, they're gonna take the doctor to town. But, like, they don't give a shit about Steven and Dodo. Like, yeah, we'll find him later. It's fine. We'll send one of our...
Well, the doctor's like, that's fine. They're not gonna get worried about me.
So he's gonna be taken to the Council of Smarties. I never caught any sort of, like, name of, like, what they are. You know, because you generally got, like, the Sensorites or...
I think they're
know,
humans, though.
Are they? Well, yeah, because, I mean, the doctor calls them human at one point. But then again, he calls himself human at one point in this serial, so the doctor's not a great judge of species. But yeah, he's like, Steven and Dodo will be fine. Meanwhile, Steven and Dodo are getting spears thrown at them. See, that's a thing that I don't get. That's one thing that's sort of inconsistent about this serial, because it's shown that the savages don't really
fight back.
They're very
passive.
Unless it's Tor. Tor is shown to be a bit of a...
Tor wants to fight everybody.
Yeah, so maybe Tor's throwing spears.
Tor's like the only one who has spears.
I guess they assume that Steven and Dodo are from the city. Now, this is getting a little ahead of things, but... But Exorce, who is one of the beheaded folk, finds Steven and Dodo. And is like, yeah, ignore those spears. Let's go to the city. Like, and they just sort of drop it. They don't really, like, why are spears being thrown at us?
Right. It's just like, on to the next thing. That's fine.
They get brought in. The doctor's talking to the council. They give the doctor, like, a new outfit that Dodo enjoys.
Yeah, because Dodo loves fashion.
And they also get gifts. Steven and Dodo get gifts for just being there.
Dodo gets a mirror.
A hand mirror, which becomes plot relevant later.
And Steven gets a knife, which does not.
You'd think, like, the knife would come in handy more than the mirror would.
You'd be wrong.
Yeah, he never uses that, does he?
I remember when they got them that I was like, Dodo got screwed.
Turns out, not so much.
No, she got the more useful gift.
See, maybe that's some clever writing there. So, a couple of beheaded folk are gonna go, this is separate, by the way, though. This is not in the council, but, couple of them are going out savage hunting.
They gotta go get some and bring them back with their gun.
Their light gun! They shoot light beams.
Well, not like, shoot.
No, it's just like there's a beam of light, and then if you...
It's like a tractor beam, right? Is that what those are called?
Sure. Yeah. I'd say so.
I don't feel very confident in your assessment. It's like they can't move when they're in it, and that
they're following this one female savage.
It's literally, he's not exaggerating. It's mentioned that she's the only female.
Her name's Nanina.
You are having just the roughest time.
Her name is Nanina. They're following God damn it!
You can do it, man.
The beheaded fellows, I believe Exorce is one of them, is hunting down Nanina, and they shoot her with the light gun, and it makes her basically go stiff, unable to move, and then they can sort of make her do whatever they want. They make her move. I don't mean like a, they make her do a chicken dance. Like it's pretty much just a pull you along sort of thing. It's not like they hypnotized her or whatever. She's just sort of trapped and they can.
It's like a transport thing.
Yeah. This intercuts a lot with just the doctor talking to the council, and the counselor just like, yo, we're like super advanced and great, you guys. Is this guy named Jano. He's the head of the council, and he's just like, we got this great energy source. We're way advanced. Steven and Dodo are being taken around by...
Flower? I only really remember Flower because I loved it.
Avon.
Flower Avon and Avon.
And they're being taken around and shown the city. And look how great it is. But you can't go. Can't leave.
Did Flower seem... Did you get like a... Oh, what's her name? Effie?
From The Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, she's like super like chipper and like...
And sweet, but also like...
Naive.
Like, Dodo's kind of like, I'm gonna go in this door that says, do not enter. And Flower's like,
we can't do that.
You don't want to do that. It's sad things are there, and we don't like thinking about sad things. Come look at this art. Isn't this great?
And then when, like, Dodo does go through the door, mark do not enter, and later on, someone's
it's
like,
it's not literally mark do not enter. It's,
yeah, but, you know.
You know, it's like a secret slidey door that she's like, I'm gonna go through this secret door. And she's like, no.
Yeah, but when she eventually does, someone tells Flower, like, she went through the secret door. And then, like, she's like, Dodo? Why would she do that? No, she wouldn't do that.
It's not
allowed. You're not supposed to go through the door. And Steven's like, you tell Dodo not to go through a door. That's the first thing Dodo's gonna do.
Dodo just does whatever she wants, and I love her.
But we're jumping way ahead here. But there's a lot of intercutting, so X-Horse is the one who's captured Nanina. And the other two savages that we were talking about earlier that were watching the doctor, one of them's name is Chow, and the other one is Tor. Chow's more of the, like, leader of the savages, I feel like, and Tor is sort of, like, second-hand man.
So,
like,
you know, like, recurring Doctor Who trope, Tor is the one who hates everybody, wants to fight everyone. Chow is, like, the leader who's like, no, we gotta listen to these people, we gotta be... peaceful and hang out. Yeah. It's those guys. You know those guys. They've been in every episode so far.
To be fair, it is. I feel it's a little bit different. Like, Chow is definitely more cowardly, I feel like. Like, he doesn't want to do... It takes him a little while, a long while before he's, like, eventually like, yeah, we gotta do the right thing. And I feel like Tor isn't evil, isn't, like, bad. Like,
no,
he's just
right.
A little hot-headed.
Yeah.
But he's... I don't feel like he's necessarily, like... Oh, we must kill the doctor! You know, he's not killing people and taking their sashes.
There's always one like, I don't really trust these guys. They're coming in. We don't know who they are. And there's always one guy who's like, I trust them completely. Why? Yeah.
So they do fit that trope, but yes. I feel like usually that's with the bad guys almost generally, and this time they're kind of the good guys.
You mean that second guy is a bad guy?
Yeah.
And he's not really. He's all right.
And anyway, they Chal and Tor see Nanina being dragged away and stuff. They're watching all this and trying to warn her and stuff before she gets caught. And she does get caught, and like X-Horse is dragging her back, and like Chal's like trying to be like, hey, don't take her, take me instead. She's young and full of life, and I'm an old fart. Take me instead. X-Horse just completely ignores him and moves on. Dodo out of the window, because the city has windows, I guess, sees X-Horse bringing Nanina into the city, and she's very curious about this. And everybody else is like, ah, just ignore it.
Don't think about it, Dodo. No worries.
Oh, yeah, and we've said, like, Flower's, like, super, like, oh, and, like, Avon's always, like, he's sort of like her older brother in a way. Just, like, very nervous and, like, she's like, oh, don't go in there. We're not allowed to go in there. He's like, don't go in there.
But for real, though, really don't.
Don't do it. That is bad stuff. Nanina's being taken to a laboratory. Is it laboratory or laboratory? Are both correct? Is one just more American?
I've heard it both ways.
Well, she gets taken to a lab. Just make that easier. She gets taken to a lab, like, where there's the scientists, and they're all just... They're very casual about all this. Transferring the savage. They're hooking up Nanina to this machine. Basically, they're going to take her life force.
I guess. Like, they don't... Somehow, they don't take enough of it so that they'll die? But, like, I guess they can just drain them every so often?
Well, I feel like if they drain them, not enough to kill them. And then they just sort of naturally replenish. That's they let them go.
So they don't do that? The other people?
Oh, you mean the people in the city?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it does have negative effects, which might explain the scarring, or, like, it probably...
It seems, too, like it takes... they mention something about it taking their talents. He says something about him being like, we used to have artists here, but we don't have those talents anymore.
So that would make sense of something that happens later, too. Yes. So, yeah, okay, so yeah, it takes your life force and apparently your smarts, too. That's probably why this civilization is so advanced and stuff, is they're basically stealing skills and shit from these people. Dodo wanders away from Steven, Avon, and Flower, as we've already mentioned. And she gets into this hallway where they are letting out another savage that had already been transferred. Or maybe they haven't even done Nanina yet. Maybe, I can't remember, but like they're letting one out and he's like zombified walking towards her and she screams! And that is the end of episode 1 as our cliffhanger. Episode 2! It's not as fun! Zombified savage guy just walked right past her without even...
Doesn't even notice that she's there.
And exits the walled-in city. Yeah, now they're about to hook up Nanina. They haven't yet because Dodo walks in. Just walks in. It's like, what's up? What are you guys doing?
This lab, by the way, is what's behind the secret do not enter door. This is where she wasn't supposed to go.
The energy transfer room. She just walks in. And the Steven, meanwhile, is like, where's Dodo? And worried about Dodo and interrupts.
Steven worried
is his second, leads to his second catchphrase.
Steven regret worried Taylor.
Steven's second catchphrase next to Doctor is Dodo! Dodo! Just yelling for people. Steven interrupts the council's sales pitch to the doctor.
Sales pitch.
To be like, Dodo's missing. But she's not. She's in a lab. And she gets caught. And they're like, what are you doing in here? Hey, don't do that, says the lab technician guy. I think they just assume she's like another savage or something, because they're like, well, I don't know who this...
Yeah, she's not from the city.
So let's hook her up. Everybody else is searching for Dodo. They come across, basically, Dodo is like, fuck you guys, leave me alone. She's putting up a fight. She does not want to be transferred. This confuses the lab technician.
They're like, I've never fought back before. This is weird.
And then we meet another beheaded guy named Edol. He takes Dodo. They release Nanina. Avon and Flower are worried because...
They've lost Dodo.
It
was their responsibility to look after Dodo and Steven. And Dodo got into the secret lab thingy. And they are going to be in trouble.
Though I don't recall anything happening to them.
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yeah, they get, like, arrested.
I've forgotten.
Literally, they find Dodo. She comes back. She's like, I hope I didn't get you guys in trouble. And Flower's like, no, we're fine. And then, like, one of the guards comes back and is like, all right, we're here to take you away now.
They light gun him.
I forgot. And she's like, they won't transfer us because we're people from the city. And I think it's implied that maybe they do.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever, like...
They just get taken away, and it's, you know that it's bad news.
But Team TARDIS is reunited. The doctor's like, yeah, this place pretty great. Let me go get some stuff from the TARDIS, and I'll be back. Which is, you know, obviously, let's get out of here. They all start to head toward the TARDIS and are followed by Edol, the other beheaded fellow. And on their way back to the TARDIS, Team TARDIS finds the first savage, the one that walked by, Dodo. I didn't notice her. I mean, he's like, not in good shape. The doctor tells Steven to go to the TARDIS to get some medicine because apparently Doctor has medicine there, but has to go to...
has to go to the West, the old West.
Dentistry.
That gets me, man. That gets me.
But there's some medicine in the TARDIS that will help fix the savage. I think Steven and Dodo both go to get it. And while the doctor's alone with this savage, Edel comes by and confronts the doctor. Edel's like, you know, you shouldn't be worried about this guy. He's not like, he's a savage and no one gives a shit and blah, blah, blah. And the doctor says, he's human like you and I.
I don't want to just go around telling everybody that he's a special fancy Time Lord.
I guess that's fair. I don't, but he's like in a heat of the moment, passionate thing in these lines.
Yes, obviously.
All right.
Otherwise, nothing makes any sense.
But Edel ain't having it, and he takes the doctor back to the city. Steven and Dodo return, and are like, where the fuck's the doctor? They get medicine to the savage, and then Dodo spots Chal and Tor. Nope, Chal and Tor. Chal and Tor.
Chal and Tor.
Chal and Tor. Fuck. Chal and Tor are...
That's still not it.
No, it's Chal and Tor. Chal and Tor are discussing what they're going to do to Steven and Dodo, and Tor's like, let me kill him! So I guess he does want to kill him initially. The child's like, no, let's hear him out. But they go to attack. I guess they do go to attack Steven and Dodo, but the savage that's been given the medicine is like, whoa, stop.
Yeah, don't attack. They're friends. They're cool guys.
They helped me out here. They gave me some medicine. They fixed my boo-boos. What? I'm leading this thing by myself here. But he says, yes, they are friends. The doctor, meanwhile, is taken to the council, and he opposes the council! He opposes yes. Janno! He's like, I oppose you! I have opposable thumbs.
No, that's not what it said.
They're like, well, you know what? Fuck you, doctor. And they're going to take him to the lab, and they are going to...
They're
going to
transfer him.
Yeah, they're going to take his energy. It's like, this is going better than expected.
This is going so well. We're very excited. Well, because they bring him in, and they're like, we're going to do the transfer. And they're like, you can't do that. We've never done it on, like, a higher life form before.
At first, it's like, oh, this is a little weird. Oh, no, this is... Oh, no, wait, it's great. We're getting lots of good stuff here.
There's lots of good life force here.
We're saying lots of weird numbers that, but positively...
They did say a lot of numbers.
2.7. Oh, 2.8? Oh, my goodness. 2.9?
I think that scene's happening, and I'm like, I guess those numbers are good. Well, they're bad.
They're bad for the doctor. Good for the science.
And then is that the cliffhanger?
That's the cliffhanger for episode 2.
Not the same.
And now we're into episode 3. Episode 3. Transfer goes well.
So well, you guys. This is the best part of the whole serial.
I'm like, it's so good. Go get Steven and Dodo. We're going to transfer them too.
But, I think we should mention.
Oh, Janno is like, I'm gonna guinea pig myself here, and you can put that energy into me, because we need to test it. We don't know. This is not one of our people. This isn't one of the savages. We don't know how this energy is gonna react with us, so...
I better try it out first, make sure that it's safe and okay for people, and we're gonna do it in secret. I don't want anyone to know.
So they're gonna get that set up. Before that happens, though, we go back to the savages who are taking Steven and Dodo to their hideout. And it is... It is a return of a first Doctor staple that I feel like we haven't had in a while.
I was so nostalgic when we saw it.
Guys, we're in a cave.
A cave?
Cave. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've had a cave. Return of the cave.
Good, solid cave.
It's got cave art. That's what you were talking about. Well, Steven and Dodo are like, cool art, yo. Nice graffiti.
I can't believe they're like, yeah, we used to do that.
Not anymore. Don't know why, exactly.
We don't know how anymore. Because of the transfer.
Which is setting something up. And Tor is, like, keeping an eye out. He's guarding the cave. X-Source comes out. Light guns Tor. Comes into the cave. X-Source does. Charles, like, taking Steven and Dodo deeper into the cave. Because they're like, we're going to lose X-Source. We're going to hide you guys deeper in the cave. He doesn't know how the way the cave systems work like we do.
Right, like, apparently they don't even go into the caves. The city people. X-Force is, like, the first one to, like, ever go into the caves, so.
And then the chase is on! And it's just a great thing to watch that doesn't exist.
Right. We assume that they're chasing them through caves.
Then we hear, shh, don't make a sound. And rocks tumbling and then...
Stuff like that. You know, chase sounds, cave sounds.
But then eventually Steven's like, I've had enough of this. Well, and starts like, hey, X-Source! X-Source! X-Source!
Before he has a plan. Like, yeah. He comes up with a plan, like, as soon as the guy's like, oh, you guys are over there? I'm coming over there to, like, kill you. He's like, okay, tell me everything you know about their guns. And it's like, why didn't you ask that question
before you started calling? Before
you started. Now he knows where you are. Now he's on his way over. Now is when you decide to come up with a plan. That's Steven Regret.
That's Steven Regret. Steven Regret Taylor.
I mean, it works out for him, so it's fine. But while it was happening, I was very annoyed.
He's like, do you think that light gun would work if it was reflected? And like, they're like, what the fuck? And then Charles like, yeah, I guess. I think I saw it used on a lake once. And he's like, cool. Dodo, give me your hand mirror.
What?
And Dodo's like, why don't you just stab him with your dagger? Because this is cooler. Give me the hand mirror. So... X-Source shows up, tries to shoot him with a light gun. Steven uses the hand mirror to bounce it back like a fucking cartoon.
And I mean, not like a cartoon. Like, that's how light works.
Okay. And it captures X-Source. He is now prisoner.
It is how light works.
I feel like it would work like that if that was a real, like, you don't hold, like if you had a laser gun, I feel like you just hold up a mirror. I feel like it'd break the mirror.
You can't send lasers with mirrors.
Know that, but like, I feel like if like you had a laser gun, a pew pew gun.
Well, this isn't a laser gun. It's not a pew pew gun.
It's a light gun.
It's a light gun. It's a tractor beam gun. I'm just saying the logic here is solid, and all I don't know why you're poo pooing it.
All right, fine. It's a really great plan. There's no potential for this tiny hand mirror is a perfect. All right. Anyway,
I don't appreciate your attitude right now.
So anyway, X-Source is now a prisoner of the savages. They're like, holy shit, Steven caught one of the people from the city? He must be a god.
He's got their gun? They do, I forgot about that, but they do call him a god. And then they make this sound where they're like, he must be a god. And they all go, whoa! No, they don't gasp like that. That would make sense. They go, whoa!
Isn't that how you react when you witness a deity in the flesh?
I don't know. I will tell you when it happens.
Well, you're in the presence of a pretty great guy right now. Some people call me a love god.
No one calls you that.
I do to myself when I'm alone. So then we get a little bit of exposition about... So Jano's suiting up, but then we go on to... He's getting into the device to get the energy. And then we cut back to the cave, and Tor is also suiting up. He puts on X-Source's helmet. And I think that is just fucking adorable.
You loved it so much.
I was like, that's so... I don't know. That's why I couldn't, like, hate Tor. Just puts on the helmet. He's like, look, guys! I'm one of them! This is great.
I think it's more like, obviously the helmet is some kind of actual...
Like, trophy thing.
Yes, yeah. But also, like, armor. Like, yeah. Tactical. It's like, hey, I'm gonna go fight people, I'm gonna take this gear. But also, I do think of it as, like, he thinks of it as a trophy. I won, you lost, I get the hat. That's how hats work.
So Steven and Dodo are like, we gotta go rescue the doctor. Charles like, that sounds risky.
Do we?
Nanina, okay, so, like, some X-Source and Tor are having some smack talk going on. And Tor's like, I'm just gonna kill him because he's bad. And, like, Nanina stops Tor from killing X-Source. And then, like, this sort of weird love story starts happening.
I don't know if there's necessarily any love. I don't think so.
I feel like it was building up to that.
I feel like you might be reading into some things. I feel like that might be coming more from you and less from the show.
I felt like it might have been heading there. I don't know. Which is weird because, like, Nanina is showing, like, sympathy and stuff for him and, like, protecting him. Which is weird, considering he was previously her captor.
Okay, I see what you're saying. But I feel like her whole thing was, first of all, Chal had been like, don't hurt him. And so she was like carrying out those orders. Like, hey, he said, leave him alone. That's what he said. But also I think it's more of a message of like, you know, sympathy and love are gonna win and shit.
I suppose...
I see what you're saying, though.
I mean, it didn't go that way. I was worried that it was going to. And I would have been weirded out by that. Like, I mean, I'm okay with don't murder him and be, you know, take... Right, like, I she's think taking it's care more, of his, like, wounds and shit or something.
I think it's more, like, a statement of her strength of character than anything else.
Yeah. But I would have been like, if, like, she's like, and I love you, or some shit. Like, we found each other, even though we're from opposing teams. That can work, but not when you were previously imprisoned by him and drug away against your will to have your life force sucked out of you. Just saying. Be a little weird. So, Charles like, all right, I guess I'll help you guys out. I'll show you how to get into the city, he says to Steven and Dodo. Charles knows a way into the city. And on their way there, there's a guard at the city gates who is apparently so used to the savages being non-confrontational that he's just eating an apple, hanging out.
Never heard that word pronounced quite that way before.
Non-confrontational?
Confrontational.
I wanted it to rhyme more. So he's just eating an apple and not paying attention. And because of this guard not being...
the best.
Steven Light got them. Just pew-pew.
Pew-pew-pew-pew. Pew-pew-pew.
because they got the light gun from X-Force, which I assume you figured out.
We said.
And then the greatest thing happens.
The best thing about the cereal. It's so good.
So the transfer of energy into Geno is now complete. Things go a little weird.
At first, it's like, so you're good? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. And everyone's like, cool, great.
And then he's like, yep. Where's my friends? Where's Steven and Dodo?
He's doing a really good Hartnell impression.
Way better than I just did. Mine was
awful. Way better.
It's higher pitched than William Hartnell, but it's still very clearly William Hartnell.
I just remember being so thrilled. Like, he's doing the doctor.
Apparently, William Hartnell coached him.
Did he?
How to do the impression, yeah.
Because he did good. He was too high-pitched, but there was, like, the mannerisms. There was something else that was there that was right.
Normally, Geno is, you know, very, I'm Geno. This is who I am. I'm the council leader. But when he's the doctor, he's like, you know, I don't want to say stumbling over his lines, but that more sort of
it's like
haphazard way of speaking that the doctor has.
Yeah, like, Jano's line delivery is very deliberate and solid and authoritative, whereas the doctor is very, yes, the jumping from one thing to the next and, you know, doctorish.
I say, you know?
Yes, it was so much fun. He would jump back to Geno and be like, I don't know. I'm fine. Don't worry about you.
Yeah.
And, like, just sort of jump back and forth between the two, and you're like,
ooh. And he's, like, fighting against himself, because, like, when he's influenced by the doctor, he, like, picks up this crowbar, like, this iron bar, not a crowbar, but an iron bar, and he's like, I'm gonna destroy this machine. And, like, he has to stop himself from destroying it. He's like, whoa, 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 what am I doing? What am I doing?
Yeah, I like that machine.
Steven and Dodo get in the city and are, like, sneaking around, but Edel has spotted them on the scanner and is, like, telling one of the other guys, like, go to this corridor, that's where Steven and Dodo are. Over. And Geno overhears this.
I think he actually sees them. He's got monitors.
Yeah, but I mean, he specifically hears Edel saying, take care of them. Steven and Dodo bump into the doctor, who's completely zombified.
They release him through that little releasey door where they release the zombies.
Yeah, but he's not, like, talking or reacting at all. And then smoke starts pouring into the corridor, and the door shut, and they can get out and stuff. And that's the end of episode 3.
Just episode 3.
That's the cliffhanger! And went over to episode 4. Whatever.
This is the last episode.
This is the last episode. So they're in the corridor.
Yes.
And they're locked in. The door's closed. And then it opens!
Yay! And they get out. It's okay. They're safe.
And the
then it closes again.
They do close.
And the other people can't follow them because it's closed. And they're like, whoa, who did that? And then
we see it's Geno pushing some buttons.
Like, boop, boop, boop. I'm gonna save them. Boop, boop, boop.
Because he's doctor influenced.
Yes.
Edel comes in and is like, to talk to Geno, and then it's like they got away, and he's like, feels slightly, he's been like seeing this sort of like weird thing that Jano's going through, and he's like not 100% trustworthy. He's not 100% trusting Geno, but Jano's like, we'll send a patrol after Steven and Dodo.
He's still the leader. So like, even though he's like, you're acting weird and I'm not 100% sure we should be trusting you or whatever, he's like, well, I'm in charge, so what are you gonna do?
And he's like, so we're gonna send a patrol after Steven and Dodo. And Jano's like, and I'm gonna lead that patrol. And Edel's like, alright, leader. Steven and Dodo and the doctor are heading to the caves, and they're gonna be followed by Geno and his patrol. The patrol's following, and they're like, they're not certain where they're gonna go. So, like, half the team, like, Jano's like, you guys go to the TARDIS, cause they might be going back to their spaceship. I'm gonna go to the caves by myself. Don't worry about it. And they're like, alright. And so the team goes, but like, Edel's like, but I'm gonna go with you. Because I don't trust you. They go, okay. Then there's a light gun fight. Steven's
pew, 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 pew.
Steven's going around, like, jumping out of the woods. Like, pow! And, like, just bouncing all over the place like some kind of 1960s British John McClane.
All right.
John McClane from the feature film Die Hard.
Never heard of it.
It's a great Christmas film for the whole family. It's a film about a man who has, him and his wife have fallen apart. A really cute Christmas flick for the entire family. The Alan Rickman, his first feature film role. Give it a watch. It's a pretty good film. May not have heard of it.
Is this just a thing we do now?
We recommend films that people have never heard of before.
Like Die Hard?
Like Die Hard.
Star Wars.
It's about a family reconnecting. A man and his estranged wife. And Alan Rickman is like getting in the middle of it and causing some mess that threatens their marriage even further. I hope to God somebody listens to this podcast and doesn't know what Die Hard is. And like watches it based on my recommendation. And is like, what the fuck? He's not wrong. Anyway, Steven's shooting people with his light gun. Nanina is nursing Exor's. And Exor's like, why are you doing this? She's like, because I'm good. And Tor is like, fuck you, Exor's. And like, I don't like you. And I'm really mad that Nanina does want to help you. I don't get it. And then Nanina's like, pulls a spear on him. And is like, you don't fucking touch him. It's pretty badass.
It was pretty badass. And he's like, you're going to protect him over me when he's a bad guy?
Yeah.
He's like, just doing what's right.
The doctor, Dodo, and Chaw, and Steven all get to the cave finally. And then we got more light gun fights. Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew. Pew, pew. It actually doesn't make that noise at all. It actually goes, like there's smoke and light.
But that's not fun. You know what's fun? Pew, 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 pew,
pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew. What happens like that I thought was really funny because of something that happened while we were watching it. Steven's like, Dodo, get the capsules. And Tony's like, what capsules? And Dodo's like, what capsules? And Steven and I both are like, the capsules that they gave to the Savage earlier, the medicine from the TARDIS. And then both Tony and Dodo are like, oh, right. I'd forgotten about that.
That is exactly what happened.
It was very odd. Like, we were in sync with the show. We were Steven and Dodo.
Literally, he said it, and I was like,
what is he talking about?
Capsules? I had to be reminded, which they clearly knew. Like, I don't think the audience is going to remember about the capsules.
The doctor takes the capsules, and he's like, I know you're like John McClanan. You're yippee-ki-yay-ing, but don't hurt Jano. No harm, Jano. Oh, and this part didn't lead to bad things like I thought it was.
Bad things?
I just want to mention how poor a judge of character Steven is. Steven gives Tor the light gun. I thought that was going to go somewhere bad. Like, it probably should have, but it didn't, because like later on, Steven's got it back.
Yeah, there's this guy who's doesn't like you in the first place. Like, didn't want you to be there, wanted to kill you.
Well, yeah, but like Tor also thinks he's a god later on. So.
Right, okay, but before then, he wanted to kill him. Wants to kill the other guy that's there.
Exor's.
Like, he's not the guy to give the gun.
I really thought that was going to go somewhere bad. But
just,
it didn't.
He just has it back later. He gives it back to him.
I guess Tor's learned his lesson to not be violent.
And maybe he just didn't want to, like, let a god down.
The doctor's like, we need to destroy the lab. He's coming up with this plan. It's like, we gotta go and destroy the lab before we go. Because it's bad. Jano ditches his guards. Enters the cave. Edel goes and warns the council that Jano is not himself. Literally. But yeah, Jano's in the cave. Now, Jano knows good and evil, according to the doctor.
He got the doctor's conscience?
So now he knows the difference between good and evil. Good, which is what the doctor does, and evil, which is
what anyone else but the doctor does.
Yeah. I'm just going to bring up the beginning of season one. The doctor was going to kill a dude with a rock.
Okay, here's my thing about this. Because I feel like, because a lot of people watch Unearthly Child, because it's like, you got to watch Unearthly Child. I feel like the first doctor gets this rap of being kind of like a bad guy, where I'm like, his whole run, he's like, he very quickly becomes nonviolent. And I feel like he realizes that within his first couple of adventures by like meeting the Daleks, he's like, oh, this is everything that I'm not. In like those couple of episodes, he really adopts it's like, but he doesn't want, he's like the first doctor who establishes like, I don't want guns, I don't like them, I don't like violence. I don't know. I hate that everyone's like, but isn't he this doctor? And I'm like, he is, yeah, but there was also, like, a pilot, and everything's wonky in pilots, and everything about his character that's been established since then is pretty nonviolent, and I just want that known.
I love you. You're cute. So yeah, Jano is, like, now on the side of the doctor. He's a bit confused still, but now he has Jiminy Cricket Doctor inside him. That sentence has never been said in the history of the universe.
With good reason.
Geno now has Jiminy Cricket Doctor inside him. That is a phrase unique to the universe. But amidst all this, X-Force escapes. See, and this is where I thought, like, things were going to go down with Tor. Like, I felt like Tor was going to shoot X-Force, but it didn't happen.
Well, and the gun's not lethal.
That's true. But, I mean, I felt like he would use it on, and, like, capture him back or something. I don't know. Do bad shit. But X-Force escapes, Nanina follows him, and is trying to plead with him to be like, don't do bad stuff.
Because they have a plan. He has overheard the plan, or he's overheard enough of the plan to, like, warn them. And he's like, if you do that, like, you're screwing us over. Please don't do that.
So we come back to the council. Edel is now taking control. He's like, I'm the leader now. Because Jano's out of commission. X-Force comes in, and there he's going to talk to the council. Edel does talk, but he does not spill the beans. So, Nanina did get through to him.
I think, actually, he vouches for Jano.
Jano returns with prisoners, like he said he was going to, and arrests Edel for, like, usurping the throne.
Planning a coup, basically.
And he's like, and, he's out of the way. I want this lab destroyed. And they're like, what? And then, like, everybody starts trashing the shit out of this lab. And Dodo is having fun.
Dodo is so pleased. Like, I'm pretty sure the doctor is like, there's something, like, satisfactory about destroying something evil, right? And Dodo's like, hell yeah! This is awesome!
Yes!
That's what she says. She says, yes! And then smashes something. It's awesome, and I'm really upset that it doesn't exist, because I bet everyone's just having so much fun.
Yeah. It's a nice thing, but it's also one of those instances where you're watching a reconstruction, and you can only listen to smashing sounds for so long. And it goes on for so long. When we were watching it, because nothing new is happening, and we're just hearing, ksh, 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 Tony and I just started air drumming, like pretending that we were causing the chaos, I guess.
Well, you did. I just danced.
You joined in.
I danced.
Oh, you danced? Oh, yeah. Okay. I was air drumming.
Tony was air dancing. I was headbanging.
I don't know if you guys know, but if you become a patron of our Patreon, at a certain level, you can see videos of us watching the episodes. So you can see us being gigantic dorks, basically.
Yay!
Patreon.com/watchathon if you want to see Tony and I being huge dorks. Which our friends get for free.
How lucky.
Our friends are so lucky. Edel rushes in. He's like, whoa, whoa, stop. Stop, stop, stop. Stop, 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 stop. And Steven shoots him with the light gun. He's okay.
It's fine. He just can't move.
Yeah. I think it's established that if you shoot him with a light beam, they go still and you can drag him around. But if they look directly at it, they get knocked unconscious for a while. And I believe that's what happened to Edel here. Because it happened to the guard that was eating fruit. And I believe it happened to X-Source when he got reflected with the hammer. It's that time.
It's not.
The good guys have the lab is destroyed.
And then everything's great, and everyone gets back into the TARDIS, and they continue onward, and they have great adventures. And that's how the episode ends. That was another podcast. Good job.
No, don't turn off the podcast just yet. Tony is not telling the truth. They're like, so we have now been shown what a conscience is. We have this crisis of conscience, let us say. We need somebody to help guide us. Someone like you, Doctor, says Jano. The Doctor's like, no, you don't need me. You need someone truly human. You need Steven. The savages themselves are like, yeah, Steven's done really great. He's like, helped us out. He's sort of rallied us together and all that sort of stuff. And, both the elders and, or Jano and...
The elders, that is what they're called. We haven't called them that once in this whole podcast.
Yeah, I think I said the Council of Elders at one point, maybe. We've
just been calling them city people or the beheaded fellows, which is...
Well, the beheaded fellows are like the soldiers, and then you got the normal people, and then you got the Council of Elders.
All right.
Which Jano is the lead of the Council of Elders. But Jano and the elders, I guess, and the savages are all like, yes, we want Steven to be our leader, basically. You help us out to figure out what we're doing from here on out. The doctor's like, that's a great plan. And everybody is like, yeah, we want Steven. And Steven's like, okay, I agree. I will stay. I feel like I can do this.
I'm gonna lose Steven.
If Tony felt like that wasn't set up properly, I feel like, but I feel like it was because, like, at the beginning of the episode was like,
Can I say what I feel like?
Well, let me just say, Steven agrees to stay, there's a tearful goodbye, and the TARDIS leaves, and that's the end of the episode. And now, do you want to just, let's just jump into...
Final thoughts!
Tony, what are your final thoughts?
Okay, here's my problem with it. I do feel like it's not set up enough. Like, okay, yes, you do have, like, you do have Steven being like, you need to quit relying on the doctor so much or whatever. And you do have, like...
Be your own man.
Right. And you do have, like... The savages, like, looking up to him and stuff. He doesn't, it's the same thing at all. It feels very similar to Susan, where it's like, I don't feel like, he's not the one who was like, yes, you're right, it should be me, I'm gonna stay. The doctor's kind of like, well, what about Steven? And Steven's like, yeah, alright.
It was more than just the doctor saying it this time, though. It was the doctor and, like, the savages were like, yeah, Steven.
I know, but I don't feel like it didn't feel enough. Like, he had enough motivation to stay there versus just being like, nah, you guys will figure it out. Like, I feel like more should have happened with him in order for me to feel like he'd be like, yeah, you're right, the right thing to do is stay. Like, I just don't feel like enough happened that I totally 100% believe that he had the motivation to be like, yeah, I'm gonna stay here with these guys.
I do feel like it was a bit rushed. But I don't mind it so much. I feel like it's okay.
I mean, honestly, I feel like the time he almost left the TARDIS would have been a much better send-off for him.
That's true.
Than this time. Like, when Barbara and Ian left, that was like a magnificent send-off. They realized they wanted to go home, they get home, and the whole episode's about, like, them making this decision. Vicky, to, like, a lesser extent, it's, like, her...
It's building up to it.
Yeah. Whereas this is kind of like, so we need somebody. How about this guy? Yeah? Alright. Like, it's...
Yeah, it feels a little tacked on.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it's annoying because we've already seen a better version of what this looks like. We've seen it. A pretty decent scene of him deciding to leave the TARDIS because he doesn't like the way... He doesn't like the ethics of it and the morals of it. He doesn't want to be around it. And to, like, have that and have that exist... And have that not play into his decision to leave, like, shortly after. It's lacking. It's a lacking send-off for a character that I really enjoyed.
I mean, but you can take that as sort of subtext, though, that Steven has been morally concerned with the doctor's choices and things like that. And that's why the doctor's like, you're right.
I don't want into subtext. That's not good enough.
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, the doctor realizes that, no, Steven is the more moral person here. He is the person.
I mean, maybe, and if that stuff had been in the episode, it would have been a better send-off. But it's not. It's not there. Not enough. I'm bummed, because I have to say, my favorite Team TARDIS, like, my favorite time, was when we had Ian, Barbara, Vicky, and Steven.
That was only, like, a couple episodes.
It was only, but... like, yes, it was. It was only a handful of episodes. It was my favorite time. It was so much fun. You know, don't get me wrong. I've loved Dodo in everything she's been in so far. But I'm like, that last person of, like, what is, like, my favorite team is gone now. And as much as I love Dodo, I'm like, I like there being at least, like, three people. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I kind of hope we pick somebody else up soon. But I also feel like we'll just be like, and here's this person. Here they are. I don't know. You know what I mean? It'll be like a whole process of like, if we do pick someone else up, they're gonna take forever to like establish who they are, and they're probably gonna get it wrong first. And like, it's going to be a while before we have a dynamic that I enjoyed as much as I enjoyed having that full TARDIS for that few episodes. It was still my favorite.
I do think we are getting really close to a fan favorite companion. So
are we?
Yeah, he's a two companion, but when, not that far.
How far off are we from our first regeneration?
It's just a handful of serials, just like two or three.
Are we gonna do something?
Watch it. Okay.
It's a special occasion that we have to mark.
You've talked at length about Steven's departure. But what are your thoughts on the serial as a whole?
I really enjoyed the serial. I know I just probably spent a good, like, 5-10 minutes saying why I didn't like the send-off for Steven. I really enjoyed the serial, if only for having, and I know his name, but the actor doing the William Hartnell impression was
Jenna, yeah.
Great!
it was excellent. And, like, the whole time it was happening, I was just so excited. And, like, hearing him bounce back and forth, I was like, this is great! I liked it. It was one of, like, the non-existing episodes that has kept me entertained in a while. One of the first ones in a while.
Since Mythmakers, I'd say.
Yeah. Because there's a part of me that was starting to be like, am I just not liking these because they don't exist? Because, and I do think there's absolutely, like, that is a factor of, like, this is harder for me to pay attention to, I don't know what's happening. But also, if everything else isn't really solid, that can be hard to get through the non-existing ones. But this, I mean, I was, you know, entertained all the way through. I liked what was happening. There were a lot of moments that I really enjoyed. So, yeah, this is a pretty solid serial, I'd say. Pretty solid serial with a lackluster send-off for a character that I really enjoyed.
I agree with you. I mean, I don't mind Steven's departure as much as you do, which is weird because Steven's, like, probably my favorite companion that we've had.
Really?
Yeah. Even more so than Ian and Barbara. I know I've not said a lot. I really like Steven. I don't know. He's like Ian, but I can relate to him more, I feel like, because he's younger and a little more goofy. Like, I think Ian's goofy, but in a more sort of oblivious way sometimes, whereas Steven is almost consciously goofy.
He wants to see other people laugh. And
the whole, like, Gunfighters episode, he was amazing that entire serial. And that, you know, that
so great.
That sort of thing is why I love Steven. I don't know, I'm just glad that he does have
he doesn't get left on a planet.
He doesn't get left on a planet.
With one chew.
He's basically left with some incredibly technologically advanced, greatly advanced society, and he's probably going to have, like, a high position there.
No, yeah, and that's...
So he's well off, I feel like. And I don't think he's, like, missing out on anything. I don't know. It never really said if he had, like, a family or anything.
I don't think he does. I think it's implied that he really doesn't.
Yeah, I feel like this is a good send-off.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's like he got left in a bad place. I don't feel rushed is the word. You said it felt rushed. And that's definitely, it's like, well, we're going to leave him here. And I just would have liked for him to have left the first time he said he was going to.
Yeah.
But
if he'd left when he said he was going to leave, we would not have gotten the Gunfighters, where he was adorable.
I mean, I want that scene here.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But,
though, there's something to be said of leaving the Doctor on good terms.
That's true. I think Steven is kind of the first... Ian and Barbara left him on good terms. I don't know. I feel like he's the first one where it hasn't been, like, heartbreaking.
It's sad, but it's not... No one's that upset about it,
because
I guess.
With Vicky... She was ready to go, and the Doctor wasn't ready. With Ian and Barbara, the Doctor wasn't ready.
I think the Doctor was ready with Vicky. Steven wasn't ready with Vicky. Because, like, the Doctor was like, she's fine.
Yeah.
But Steven was like, where's Vicky?
I mean, you say that, but he still has that whole, like, Vicky left, you know, he goes through that thing. I think this is, like, the first companion leaving where he's like, you know what? This is clearly what you need to, where you need to be, and, like, accepts that. So that's cool.
And on the whole, though, I did enjoy the rest of the episode as well. Jano being the Doctor was brilliant. I actually kind of wish there was more of that. I mean, it is sort of the standard these guys versus these guys, but I do kind of enjoy the... I feel like they do a lot of those sort of serials, but where, like, at the end it's supposed to be everybody teams up. But this is the only one that really felt like everybody was teaming up at the end, like, more naturally.
I think the key to that is this: there's this sort of sense of, like, we have this understanding of, like, morals, but zero idea of how to actually make anything work. So it's normally they leave and it's like, well, you guys are friends now, bye. And everyone's like, yep, sure are. Where in this serial, it's like, okay, but how do we function perceive? Now?
You know, all these people that have been profiting from the energy of the savages don't know that. You know, they don't know about the transfers and stuff. So I feel like in that sort of society, it's not like people are going to be like, no, you know, like they'll be like, oh, shit, I guess that is a bad thing. They've been kept in the dark, you know, like I don't feel like those people are bad people. Just kind of misled, you know, like Avon and Flower, you know, that's just sort of what they've been used to. So I can sort of see them sort of maturing from this and like moving on and being like, oh, this is kind of a shitty way we've been living, you know. Instead of just, wow, we're evil, you know? So I do enjoy that. I feel like they did a lot of tropes they've done before, but they've done them differently so that it's kind of a refreshing to see things done a little bit differently.
Were those your final thoughts?
Those were my final thoughts. I do want to say, if I'm going to pull this feature that I've been wanting to do, the if this was done in Modern Who, I feel like the energy draining thing would have been way more, like the draining the Doctor thing, I feel there would have been some regeneration energy stuff happening. I feel like if you did drain the Doctor of his regeneration energy, I feel like it would have been on purpose instead of an accident, and they would have done something with it evilly. I feel like if they did that now, it would be like an on-purpose plan to steal the Doctor of his regeneration energy to do some shit with it. Anyway, I think that's what they do in Modern Who. And that's been another episode of This Is What Would Happen If This Was Modern Who. That's it for this episode.
We did another one.
We'll be back next time for the season finale, The War Machines, which I believe exists. I'm actually not 100% sure. But we will have special guest Ben Padden will be returning.
Yay!
For his second episode.
It's going to be a good one, guys.
You can follow us at watchyourassalon.com, which is one R. And you can follow us on Twitter at watchyourass, which is two R's. We should not have done that.
We did not think that all the way through.
And if you would like to support the podcast, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/watchathon. Or you can go to watchyourassalon.com/support. If you want to do a one-time option, we have an Amazon wish list for DVDs because Hulu took down all of Classic Who. It's a sad day.
Yeah, I do want to say, if you want to sponsor an episode, if you buy the DVDs, if you donate them to us, you're sponsoring the episode, and we will say that at the top of the episode. And thank you kindly, because that's...
And we'll link to you or whatever you want us to link to, your if you have like a website or whatever.
I mean, you don't have to. It'd be cool. That's all.
Yeah. And we'll put you up on our Friends of Rassilon page as well. Be forever enshrined in text on our website. Thanks for listening. Subscribe on iTunes and other places. What else are we on?
I have places where you can find a podcast. We are there.
Wherever you found us this time. See you next time on
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
The strangers must be gods. Oh. Oh. Oh.